Hi, this is Paul Carey from Kerryco. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at kerryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening, cause we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 380 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 28th of May, 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl. And our special guest is Ben Aylett. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, mate. How's your week been?
It's been a good week. Yeah, good. Yeah, good steady week at work. Nothing pretty uneventful, but good work week. Winter is finally, was it to do Game of Thrones? Was it winter is coming or something? Well, winter has arrived. Very cold this morning, getting up out of bed. But good. All's good.
That's good, mate. And what's new with you? Anything happened during the week?
Nothing really exciting happened during the week. I had a fairly relaxing week with our play that I'd been involved with here in Mansfield finished last Saturday night. So I sort of had a few nights off this week, which was actually quite nice to just put my feet up and relax and do a bit of reading rather than rushing off to a show or rushing off to rehearsal. So it was good just to have I vegetated this week a bit after work. So, yeah, it was good.
Well, I've got into a new hobby.
Oh.
And that is into getting into vinyl records, which I've never actually done before, which is quite interesting.
Because you're such a young guy. You're young guys that sort of didn't grow up with vinyl records.
No. Well, because it's coming back, and I actually won some vinyl records from PBS FM, and I got them last week. And I said, damn, I need a record player to play them.
Yep.
So I went and bought
Well, I mean, I was in Melbourne on Monday, and I went up to Myers, you know, and looked at, you know, it was at Level 7 where they got a lot of the Apple stuff.
Yeah.
And they also had quite a few record players, like the USB powered record players up there. And my mother and I are looking at them, and I'm thinking, this is a real blast from the past. I mean, forget the USB. We never had USB, but records players are coming back.
They are. They are. Vinyl, very popular vinyl. I was talking to a few people about it, and then, you know, they're all people are getting back into it, you know?
I honestly thought when, you know, CDs and various things came out, digital music came out, I thought the vinyl would just quietly disappear and that would be the end of it. It'd only be a few oldies like myself and that had old record players and records sitting around that would be left, but no, it's come back.
Mm-hmm. So it's back and, so I went and picked that up and I just bought a second, just a cheap, like, you know, an old sort of one, but it works fine, you know, it does the job.
Yep.
And got it hooked up through my Sonos Play 5, which that supports line in and sounds good, yeah.
So you got a mixture of the old and the new, so the modern.
Yeah, I got some interesting record player. Yeah, I got some interesting vinyl records from PBS FM and bought myself a couple the other day, which are pretty cheap. And thanks to Jacob for helping me out for that. Because I didn't know, preamp, I actually had to buy one. Because it didn't have the built-in preamp, so I had to buy one of them.
Yep. I never thought of it, because I was saying to Jacob before we started the podcast, I had a very old stereo system, I think it was JVC, and I got that from my 21st, and that was back in the Stone Age, and it had a record player and, you know, the amp and all the rest of it. And I'd sort of forgotten about that because my amps died. I mean, that was 30 years ago more, and the amps died, and I've still got the record player sitting somewhere stored, but it, you know, it doesn't have USB or anything, so it still needs a stereo system sort of run through.
Yep.
And the speakers were these ginormous sort of speakers, are American brand KSW. Now with the Sonos and all that sort of stuff, you can get great sound out of tiny size.
Oh, yeah, speakers. Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
These speakers are like, you know, several, you know, they were just huge room speakers, and they were heavy to lift if you had to shift them around or anything. And just in that time frame, how technology has changed. But it's really interesting. You're mixing sort of, if you like, the old in vinyl with the new with the Sonos and all that. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's very interesting how it all works in that. And yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah,
you'll be able to get. I can remember well when my parents had the. Their first sort of was a big like room mounted like radiogram they called it. It had the big radio built into it, mm-hmm. and it had the record player. And of course there was multiple speeds, you know, 78, 45, yep. and 33, and was it 33 and 3rd? And I can remember the 78 records, and the needle would just fly across this record like in a rate of knots. Because you know the speed, and they got to 45s apparently, and then they got to the current.
The hell's going on? What's happened with Ben?
Oh, has he dropped out, has he?
I haven't quite dropped out. It's just Skype on my desktop has stopped responding, but it seems we've still got audio going backwards and forwards.
Oh, so. Yeah. Ooh,
okay, still right. Working. Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting, Daryl. So I got myself a record player, which I sort of gave me. I wanted one for a while, so I gave me excuse to get one. So, you know, I got one and $100, you know, secondhand, which is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of, I mean, maybe Hannah Silver would be someone to talk to about that, but I think there's a number of, you know, indie musicians that are now recording in vinyl because it's easy now for them to do that. And they can press their own stuff and a few things. And so they're not in the hands of the big record industries the way they produce them. So you might find you get some really interesting. Maybe some stuff that you'll never hear on CD or through some of the streaming services.
Yeah, definitely. Do you still use Spotify, Daryl?
Yeah, I still use it from time to time. I just, you know, plug it in and if I'm doing stuff around and just play it on the phone or something like that. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm glad vinyl has made a return.
Yeah, it's good. Everyone's buying it. You know, there's so many vinyl records in Melbourne and selling records, you know, that sort of stuff, and it's good. Good to see. And you won't be here next week, Daryl. You'll be away.
No, I'll be getting some surgery. I'll be getting my right eye. I'm getting a bionic eye. Just getting some surgery done on the right eye. So hopefully, when I come back, and I will have a better vision in the right eye than what I currently have, which is basically virtually no vision in the right eye. So I'm going from a fairly low base. So any improvement, I'll be pleased with.
That's good. Good stuff, mate. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
And let's go to Jacob. How's your week been, Jacob?
Hot as hell.
Yes. Anything else interesting, mate?
No rain. You've been getting all the rain.
You're not wrong there, mate. I got caught in the rain this morning. Went for a walk this morning, and I got caught walking back and walking in there and stuff. And so, it's, you know, I don't mind a bit of rain. Now and then, sun's out now in Melbourne, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I was looking at your weather. It was fairly windy as well.
No, not really windy. It wasn't really windy.
It said, like, when I looked at my end, it said your winds were like 12
miles an hour. That's not windy, mate.
Not in Melbourne.
No, not in Melbourne.
At Melbourne, when you go up the Spencer Street Railway Station, she seems to always be blowing a gale up there.
Yeah. Gee, that Spencer's...
Southern Cross, yes, they call it these days. Yes.
That's the one, the big one, isn't it? The big one?
Yeah, that's the big one. That's what the bus terminal.
That's very old. That building, very old.
Yeah, they've done a lot. They built in the actual because it was all open air. They've built in, you know, they put a roof over all the train lines. But that's where all the regional.
No, that's the one. The one on the corner, there opposite Federation Square.
Yeah, it's the big Southern Cross. It's the big one where all the bus terminals. Come from, you know, and also all the V-line trains from all over regional Victoria, and that they come into Spencer Street, and they call it Southern Cross, but they roofed over because it was all outdoors. You'd be sitting out, you know, the buses would be parking out in the bus bays out in the weather and elements, and they built that all in now. But yeah, it was Spencer Street's always that the gales blow up there, something
yeah.
Rock. All right.
What else has been happening, Jake? Any other things, mate, you want to mention?
Nothing really. That a hurricane hit my room.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know, mate.
It's good that a hurricane sucked up all the bad stuff and put in the trash for me.
Okay. That's good to hear, mate, because every time I hear you talking to me, you always clean your room or doing something like that.
You don't want to want someone to walk in and look at a stinky room or a dirty room.
Yeah, whatever. Ben, how's your week been, mate?
It's been a bit of a busy week, actually. Something we'll be talking about later on is the Telstra outage, which has kept me flat out. I've actually been helping customers and Telstra alike with their problems, so that's been a really interesting week for me.
So you've been working with Telstra, have you, or...?
I've got a couple of contacts in Telstra that I've been working with, and you know, together we've been sort of nutting out where the problem is. I actually came into the game pretty early with this outage, and I was seeing some stuff in the field which led me to a bit of a conclusion about what was happening, and it turned out that I was bang on.
All right, okay. So, interesting. Yeah. All right, I can't wait to hear what that is.
Fantastic.
And how's your week been, mate? Been busy, have you?
It has been pretty busy, yeah. I've been running around getting lots of non-productive stuff done and then some productive stuff done towards the end of the week, so it's been a good run-up to the weekend.
I've been trying to get someone from Telstra onto the podcast, but unfortunately he said that he didn't have anyone to do any sort of interview regarding that, so hopefully you've got some information.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best to represent Telstra fairly and everything, so you know, it's been rough, and I don't like kicking people when they're down.
No, exactly. It's happened a few times with these Telstra outages, and I'm not sure. Yeah, it's have they.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope it hasn't happened. I hope it doesn't happen anymore because I think people may leave Telstra.
Yeah,
it's always a possibility. Yeah.
Mm, mm. All right, let's get into some news, and then we'll come back to Ben, Darryl, and...
Yep. No worries.
Let's go to the news. try and skip to the news really quick. So here we go.
And here's some news for the week. And the first story is from iMore, and it's Apple reportedly pulls Airport Extreme and Time Capsule from US stores. Apple may no longer be selling the Airport Express and Time Capsule in US retail stores, according to a new report. As first noted by Mac Rumors, shoppers at several Apple stores have reported that the Airport Extreme and Time Capsule are out of stock, and at least one support representative has confirmed that Apple pulled all stock from US stores. Interesting, the two products appear to still be available internationally, something the report speculates could be related to the upcoming FCC deadline of June related to router software security rules. Likewise, the base stations are still available online for US shoppers as well as from third-party retailers. So that's from iMore. This one is from Mac Rumors. Twitter for iOS gains support for peak and pop 3D touch gestures. The official Twitter app for iOS was today updated to version 6.54, quietly adding expanded 3D touch support as noticed by Mac Stories. The update enables peak and pop gestures within the Twitter app itself, allowing Twitter users with an iPhone 6S or 6S Plus to preview content through a peak and then quickly open it up with a pop. Peak and pop gestures are available for previewing tweets, pictures, links, and user profiles, and with a swipe on a peak gesture, there are quick tools for sharing, reporting, muting, and blocking. Twitter previously featured 3D touch support, but it was limited to home screens, quick actions, allowing users to do things like search, create a new tweet, or send a direct message, and it just gives you where you can download Twitter if you don't already have it. Our next story is again from Mac Rumors. Apple's Amazon Echo competitor could feature camera facial recognition. Apple's rumored product designed to compete with the Amazon Echo could come equipped with a camera and facial recognition capabilities, reports CNET. Citing sources with knowledge of Apple's plan, CNET said the device could be self-aware, able to detect the people in the room through facial recognition technology. Once the device determines who is in the room, that information could be used to pull up each person's preferences, such as the music and lighting they like, allowing for a customized interactive experience for each member of the home. Facial recognition is something Apple has previously expressed interest in, both through patent filings and acquisitions. News of Apple's work on an Amazon Echo competitor first surfaced earlier this week when the information reported such a device was under development. The Amazon Echo is an in-home personal assistant device that features a built-in speaker and a robust artificial intelligence system. So look out for, I mean, it's still a rumor, but look out for that one. And from PC, Microsoft, Facebook building huge internet cable across the Atlantic. Microsoft and Facebook are teaming up to lay a massive internet cable across the Atlantic Ocean, the companies announced Thursday. Dubbed, Maria, the cable will help meet the growing customer demands for high-speed, reliable connections for cloud and online services for Microsoft, Facebook, and their customers. Frank Ray, director of Microsoft's Global Network Acquisition Group, wrote in a blog post, "It will, for instance, allow for faster and even more resilient connections to Microsoft cloud services like Office 365, Skype, Xbox Live, and Bing." All said and done, Maria will be the highest capacity subsea cable to ever cross the Atlantic, featuring 8 fiber pairs and an initial estimated capacity of 160 terabits, yes, terabits per second. It will stretch 4,101 miles from Virginia Beach, Virginia, to Bilbao, Spain, and beyond to network hubs in Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. That route is south of existing transatlantic cable systems, most of which are located in New York and New Jersey. So it looks like we might be getting some more internet speeds eventually, or more reliability. And that is the news.
Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate that, mate.
No problem.
Now, just before we go to the new, before we go to Jacob on his opinions. Now, Daryl, did you get the new Facebook update on your phone?
Yes, and it's now got, you can have topics.
Yes, like yes. What's your view on that, mate? What do you think about that?
I guess if it's sort of searchable, if you're sort of having it, it's sort of a bit like Facebook's trying to do a bit like Google Plus in a way. It's moving away from just Facebook being something that, you know, the family and friends share photos and stories to being really a news platform. So if you, for example, are having a debate with people on politics, maybe the US election or the Australian election or whatever, you could sort of probably search for that and be involved and actually just look at posts that relate to that rather than just seeing them interspersed with everything else in your news feed. I guess it just gives you another way of sort of refining what you're doing. If you've got something that might be politics related, you can put politics, and if some of your other friends on Facebook have no interest in your political posts, well, they might not see them. So
All right, good to hear. Thanks, Dave, for the opinion, mate. Jake, have you got the new Facebook or whatever on the desktop?
I don't really take a look on that.
Well, you get, along the top, it's new.
Okay, I'll look at it after the podcast.
Well, I was just asking your opinion on it anyway. What's your view on the stories, mate?
Well, the Atlantic Cable, I would like to see that. That would be better connection to Australia and everybody.
It'd be good. Fantastic.
Yeah, then you'll be able to, your upstream to me would be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Would be. Yeah. What else, Jacob?
And I hope Telstra and whoever out there takes in advantage of it. Mm. Everybody faster speeds, because Australia right now in some spots are subpar.
Yeah, right. Any other opinions, mate?
The Amazon Echo competitor? Meh. I would stick with the original.
Yeah, true.
And also to add on to that, they have the virtual website where you could try it out.
We tried that this morning on my Mac. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, in some parts you can cuss at her and she won't even notice. No, she just goes, she just pops right over, whatever you said.
All right.
And the last one, the apple?
Yep.
Well, that's pretty weird. Why would they pull it? They already pulled QuickTime and everything. They're starting to pull everything off of the stores. Now they're pulling it.
I'm not sure. I don't know, mate. That's the rumor. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I know for a fact it's not on. It's still they're still selling it on in the Apple stores here in Melbourne. So
I'm just saying a while back they took off QuickTime because of the security flaw that they found and they're not wanting to fix it.
Okay. All right. Anything else, mate, before you go to Ben?
Twitter for iOS. I don't have an iPhone 6, but or 6S, I should say.
Mm.
I would like to try it, but that sounds pretty awesome.
Very awesome. All right. Thanks, Jacob, for the opinions, mate. Let's go to Ben. What's your view on them news stories, Ben?
Right. Well, first, Apple pulling the airport from the United States. Yeah, I think that's definitely in response to the FCC firmware security ruling. The background on this is that the FCC are trying to lock down third-party firmware going onto hardware. So someone could put a custom firmware on an Apple airport and a whole bunch of other routers. As a result of this, the FCC is saying, hey, look, we'd like to know that the software running on these routers is actually the software that it's shipped with, and that's the stuff that we inspected. Third-party software, or GPL software, is kind of out of the FCC's reach. So it introduces some security wrinkles, some would say, in some places where the FCC is not totally sure about what's happening on some of these routers. So it does expose end users and also entire networks to potential threats. And I think that's the idea behind that. As for the iOS Twitter peek and pop features, yeah, sure, why not? I'm all for that. That sounds great. A good way to get things done quicker, a little more, I suppose, variety with the way we deal with the information on our screens.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
I like it. The Apple competitor to the Amazon Echo, I think this is just a logical step since we've had Siri move from our phones and tablets onto the Apple TV latest generation, going into what I'm pretty sure Apple will be calling the HomeKit. Having Siri as the interface for that is just a logical step forward. And I'm expecting big things from this. I reckon this will be a great step forward for Apple. And as far as home automation goes, it's a really good thing too. The Atlantic cable, that's all well and good, but we're still dealing with bottlenecks here in our own turf. Typically with fiber to the node connections, we're still having to deal with that copper connection between the node and our homes, which will be the slowest point, I suppose, in the entire chain. So we're still going to be limited by that. And as far as a Facebook mobile update goes, yeah, I love it. I actually use Facebook for work, believe it or not. And it's nice to be able to quickly flip between different subjects.
Yeah, definitely.
Get work done.
Yeah,
I just think it's great.
Yeah, definitely. It hasn't came onto the iPad yet, so hope that comes onto the iPad soon, because I use my iPad a lot.
Really cool. Yeah, that'd be really
very
cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Now, little note with Android Facebook apps is that the little bar for tuning it is on the bottom of the screen. So Apple's at the top, Android's on the bottom.
Okay. Mm. All right, good to know. Anything else, Ben?
Not much else, from what I'll probably be speaking about later on.
Yes, yeah, very soon. Let's go to Daryl. What's any opinions, Daryl, on the news story?
Yeah, I think Ben was certainly, he's spot on with the Apple, with the Airport Extreme. I think and that's why it's still being sold outside the US, is that it's to do with internally with the FCC and router software and stuff. So obviously they're pulling stuff in the US just to wait and see what happens with the FCC. Twitter and iOS support, but well, if you've got the stuff on, if you've got an iPhone 6S, yeah, why not? You take advantage of what Apple has provided in the iOS for the iPhone 6S. So yeah, Twitter's obviously decided, well, let's use it. The Amazon, I think the whole home automated systems and sort of the equivalents of Amazon Echo are going to be one of the next big things. I think being able to sort of, you know, wander around your home, just talk, you know, and an automated assistant answers or does something to you or for you will be fantastic. It would be great if Apple does something, because maybe then Apple will actually release some of these devices in Australia. I mean, Amazon has a propensity of this sort of stuff to only release it in the US, and so we never get to see it out here in Australia. And so it'll be really nice if Apple or someone else does do it and says, yes, we're going to release this sort of service outside the US so that we in Australia can take advantage of it. The undersea cable will be great as a, you know, as a big, you know, for the telcos wholesale, right, you know, to get data quickly. But yeah, it's been, again, it's been said, you know, we've got issues here in Australia with poor internet, and the fiber to the node is still going to leave us with aging copper between the fiber and our homes, which is going to restrict. It's like going from an 8-lane freeway to a potholed road between, you know, and so we've still got these issues to deal with. But at least, I suppose, for the big telcos and for you know, companies like Microsoft and the big cloud services, having that sort of more reliable stream of and higher speed data coming through will be great, because, yeah, more and more people are using cloud services, so it's putting strain not only on internal networks, but it's putting strain on probably on the undersea cables as well, the amount of data that'll be flowing through, so that'll be good. So that's my bits.
All right, good stuff, Daryl. So, interesting. Okay, good news stories, Jacob, that you put in today, mate.
Well done, Jacob.
Welcome, Jacob. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, mate. Well done. Follow him on Twitter at jazzbot32669.
1Z.
1Z. And you need more followers on Twitter. So let's go to Ben. Ben, so Telstra outage, mate, that happened again during the week.
Yeah, it has not been a good year for Telstra at all. They've had their fourth outage. Actually, some people are saying it's their fifth outage so far this year, which is pretty disastrous when you're looking at a PR spin of things. This one was not so much human error, or it wasn't a massive hardware failure like before. There was a hardware failure, but it seems the bulk of the problem occurred during a software update that was thrown at Telstra customer routers, typically the Gateway series of routers that they have out there, the Telstra branded gateways. There was a firmware or some sort of a software update thrown at these routers overnight, which some of them it worked, but then some of them it didn't quite work, which ranged from them not actually sending out IP addresses for the people on the customer side of the modem of the network to the modem actually going through a reboot loop. So it'd start up, it'd get a connection to the internet, but then within 5 to 10 minutes, it'd reboot, and it'd start the whole process all over again. So this really made things difficult for Telstra when it came to getting things back online, because back at their end, they'd look at it and they say, well, all these routers are getting on. We can't see a problem. Everything's fine. But then at the customer end, they can't actually get out, and Telstra are not actually able to see the customer side of the router. They can only see their side of the router. So people basically were offline, and it took a while for everyone to work out this is what was going on. In fact, I managed to have a look at a few of my own customers as I was running around fixing things up, and I noticed this pattern, and I actually contacted one of the guys I know in Telstra, a couple of the guys I know, and the news eventually filtered through, and then I found myself talking to some other engineers within Telstra, and together we worked out where the actual problem was. And the solution, which was basically throwing a factory reset at the router and then resetting all the usernames and passwords to get onto the Telstra network.
Wow. So do you actually work at Telstra, Ben, or do you know people there, mate?
I know a few people there. I've been in technology now for 21 years, and you get to know a few people after that time.
Yeah.
So, I don't actually work for Telstra, but I do have people that I work with.
That's good to know, mate.
Hmm.
Good to know.
So if we have any major problems or if there's any major PR stuff that needs to be done with Telstra, I can usually find the right people to help
us out. Good stuff. Well, maybe we can get someone on the podcast to chat about this as well and get you on as well to get some good information maybe one day. So Ben, so did this happen on 4G as well? What happened with 4G?
4G, that wasn't related to this latest big fault that they had. This was only affecting ADSL and NBN customers where they were using the Telstra Gateway modem.
Okay. So what modem do you use at home, Ben? What modem do you have?
Myself, at the moment, it's a TP-Link N750 with custom firmware and all the other things that the FCC doesn't like.
Okay, well, I'm using a Beon.
Great one.
I love Beon. Works fantastic. Mm. But what model is it, Jacob? 70? I can't remember the model number. I can't remember which one it was. But it works great, yeah.
I think it was the 71,000, I think.
But something like that, anyway. Something with an N in it. But it just works great.
Yeah.
And, I swear by it. Any questions, Jacob, for Daryl? For Ben? Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, these outages should not be happening. Or it's like emergency things. So what do people have to do if they don't have the access to that?
Yeah, it's not so much affected any emergency services this time round, but I'd say there would be a time eventually where we might see a massive outage. It might not be Telstra, it might be someone else. We've had other ISPs in the country with lots of problems. So IINet recently, they had a massive four-day outage as well at the end of last year.
Jeez.
And then again, all of the phone services and their email and the help center's phone service all went out on one day together. That was a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
So it's for the ISP industry, yeah, it's been a rough ride. And I think as a whole, this is actually going to be good for the ISP business itself, because we've now got a major player like Telstra have been suffering with these outages, and they're now talking to the major suppliers of hardware, so the likes of Cisco and all the other big iron suppliers of routers and networks. They're all sitting down, they're all talking about, you know, what can we do to make this better? So Cisco and the other big suppliers are going to take what they're learning from this, and they're going to be applying it to other Australian ISPs.
Interesting. Any question? Go ahead, Jacob.
Another one.
Yeah, go ahead, mate.
So could it be like a power fault or something? Like what, bad weather knocking down lines and stuff? I know about that too well.
Yeah. No, this probably wasn't caused by any bad weather or any sort of outside influence. This is more like a software update that went horribly wrong. Simple as that.
Yeah. That's why over here in the States, I have cable, because when I had DSL, whenever they started working on it, you could see the light going on, off, on, off, on, off when it's trying to connect.
Yep.
It'll turn, the whole modem light turns red. Ugh.
Yeah.
Never fun.
I'm actually with TBG, and TBG's been great. I've never actually had any dropouts at all with TBG since I've been with them. They've been good. Oh, okay. Have you had much reports about TBG at all, Ben?
I haven't heard much lately. I'm an IINet subscriber, so the only thing we've heard about TPG is TPG buying IINet, and that's about it.
Okay.
But as far as network quality goes, yeah, you're right. I haven't heard anything from TPG, which tells me maybe they've got things wired up pretty tight.
Yeah.
That said, another surprise in the industry is we've seen Dodo has actually improved their network performance in general. So I'm hearing less and less complaints about Dodo. Now, that could be because they've got less customers, or it could be because they've actually got their act together and providing a decent service. So
right, okay.
Looks like the market's maturing pretty quickly now.
Yeah, it is. And what sort of speed do you get with your ADSL, Ben?
I'm not actually on ADSL. I'm on NBN.
Oh, wow, cool.
And it's not the fiber to the home stuff. This is the HFC, or hybrid fiber cable. So on a really, really good day, I can get 97 megabits per second down and about 35 up.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, ping times of less than 10 milliseconds.
Yeah, that's all right. It's good.
It's killer. Yeah, it's awesome.
Very good. Oh, well. So I suppose you watch a lot of Netflix and that sort of thing and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we gobble up the Netflix. We're crazy for that. Also, the kids love to get onto websites and streaming services that I don't really condone. I keep telling them don't do it. but they keep doing it anyway, and we still managed to get very close to blasting through our 1 terabyte of download.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, well.
It's no shortage of ways we can spend our data.
Yep. Daryl, any questions for Ben?
Look, going back to sort of the marketing sort of side of it, I mean, like Telstra's always, I'm actually a Telstra customer because living in the bush, and particularly in the past, it's been, you know, Telstra's had a very reliable, rock solid network compared to some of the other telcos, and also
absolutely,
you know, mobile. And in the mobile sector, I mean, here, you know, most people use Telstra around here because the other ones are so limited in, you know, but the damage that, because Telstra do charge, you know, quite a bit more than a lot of the other telcos, but the damage that this has done to that reputation, whereas before they could say, well, yeah, yes, you pay more, but we'll make sure you're always online, you're always got high speed internet, or your mobile phone will always get reception. Yep. This must have done terrible sort of damage in to their image.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. It hasn't helped their image. And having spent 11 years in the bush myself, I know exactly where you're coming from. Telstra cannot be touched when it comes to mobile coverage in the bush. It's not really good from the PR side. So the guy that I deal with in the PR, this poor guy is just tearing his hair out because it's just making an uphill battle for him. So it's really tough for him. And I feel for him. And it is tough for Telstra to keep just basically going along with the same line that they are a premium service and they charge accordingly. These latest outages have, I suppose, not really destroyed that image, but it's at least made people stop and question, going, hang on, is this actually a premium service or what? What's going on? So it is raising questions. But once again, I think this is going to give everyone, not just Telstra, everyone in the industry, a wake-up call to make sure that they've got a good close eye on procedures and also the technology that's going into their services.
I mean, the hardest thing for, like, is it couldn't have come at a worse time, because with a lot of Australians now having to make, because, I mean, if you're a rusted on, say, Telstra user, or you've used Telstra for decades and you just hadn't been bothered to change, that was probably not going to affect those sort of people. But with the NBN and people having are forced to make a decision, who will we go with? Because the NBN itself is a wholesaler, not a retailer. And so with Telstra having these outages and just at the time when a lot of Australians are being, you know, forced to sort of, well, who are we going to go with for our NBN service? It was very unfortunate. If it happened a year or two ago before the NBN started rolling out, it would have probably had a less impact, because a lot of people will just stick with the telco because basically they can't be bothered going through the process of changing.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the customers already in Telstra, yeah, they're probably not going to be going anywhere, but absolutely it will be affecting that purchase decision of people churning or moving from one ISP to another or getting a brand new service set up, because this will definitely raise questions. As far as the NBN goes, a lot of people don't realise that they don't have to go to NBN Co to get their NBN. So no. The National Broadband Network is actually, the NBN Co is the wholesale provider.
That's right.
We still get it from our regular retail provider. So it just means a change of plans, a little bit of change of equipment, and you're good to go.
And I mean, all this probably too, and it's interesting on a side issue, is that with all this happening with Telstra having these outages and that, and of course the NBN rolling out, it's, and of course with a federal election campaign in the middle, it might be drawing people's attention to the massive debate that's been going on for a few years about fibre to the home or fibre to the node. And for a lot of people who are not tech people, who just want to use the internet, it's been really difficult for them to be engaged in it, because they don't really understand it. And and now with these sort of issues all flowing in and people saying, well, you know, yes, we've got NBN, but really our speeds haven't increased super fast because, you know, we've got all this, you know, this copper, and we've got no real ability to future-proof the network while we've still got copper on the last leg of it. It might make the election campaign a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, actually, the NBN and the federal election and everything else coming up, this is probably one of the reasons why I'm looking back on this week saying, geez, that was a busy week, because I was also dragged into a bit of discussion about Christopher Pine and the NBN and his recent comments on ABC's Q&A, where he was saying Australia doesn't need a fast NBN service. Instantly, my blood boiled. I just could not believe he said this. And
you can watch five movies at once. Why would you want anything more? I thought to the federal minister, I know not everybody's tech savvy, but he sat there and said that, and I was the same. I just about picked up my flat screen television and threw it against the wall when I heard him say that.
Yeah, well, I was actually in the studio at 6 PR when Q&A is on, so I missed the actual show, but I had someone from Fairfax give me a call and say, hey, look, Christopher Pine said this, have a look at the link. So I had a look at the link, and I sent back a text message. I said, so when do you want me on? I just could not wait to get on to talk about this. I mean, who measures download speeds in simultaneous movie watching?
Yep. It just shows – I mean, it shows the ignorance of politicians, you know, who, you know, make these massive decisions about, you know, which is going to affect Australia for decades to come if it's not changed. And yet they have no idea. And, I mean – it'd be like, you know, making a decision about whether what surgery you're going to have and you're not a doctor. You're making these decisions and it's going to affect not just us but the next generation, because another government in the future is going to be forced to review this and look at it and maybe put their hands in their pocket for another, you know, tens of billions of dollars to try and rectify it.
And that's another thing. We're seeing the NBN. There are variations of the NBN all around the world. So we do have fibre to the home or fibre to the premises and fibre to the node. There are countries like New Zealand, UK, and I think Spain, where they started out with fibre to the node, and they are now replacing to fibre to the premises. So they're running fibre from end to end. It looks like we are just rolling out last generation technology and calling it brand new, which is not going to sit well with a lot of technical people.
And I think, but the issue of to debate it is that for most people who just want to use the internet, switch their computer on, stream their video, do their emails and stuff, it sort of goes over their head in the sense also that you want to, as well as putting in a first, you know, great generation technology, you want to make sure that your future, as far as you can possibly do it, you future proof it. So that when the next time when there's congestion, you just light up more cable in an area, or you, rather than thinking, well, yes, we'd like to give you more internet speed, but we've got this damn copper that's sitting right in the middle of it, and unless we spend tens and tens of billions more, you're just going to be stuck with what you've got for the next decade or more.
Yeah, it's just nuts. We're going to have to be putting our hands in our pocket again. But by then, it's not going to bother today's government or the next government coming through, because by then it'll be someone else's problem.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. Good stuff, Daryl. And Ben, Jacob, you got a question for Ben before we wrap up, mate?
Yeah. What I was saying is, like, for these people that have the outages, like if the mobile goes out, why not give someone, the people that are most affected, one of those phone boosters that can hook up to the internet? Like if the internet's not even bothered. Now, wouldn't that be a good idea for most?
I think you're talking about those Pico cells that you can put in your homes to help boost your mobile phone signal. Is that right?
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, okay, Pico cells. I don't think we see many Pico cells in Australia. We have seen variations on the Telstra Smart Antenna, which is a unit that costs around about $1,000, uses the internet to help. Oh, no, it doesn't. It has an outside antenna and an inside antenna, so it creates a bridge to help get a signal from outside of the premises, and it boosts the signal inside the premises. So if you've got one of those really weird structures that might be a steel frame home or something with steel walls or a tin roof where the signal just really dies once it gets into the premises, it helps with that, but I have not seen any Pico cells that connect into the internet that boost your phone signal, but probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, we've seen the antennas. I mean, because I live in the bush, Telstra, we've got like caravan parks and a few places that have very poor mobile reception, and Telstra's run around at different times with these big these $1,000 units to try and just boost the signal enough so that people can actually make a phone call, let alone, you know, there's no 4G, it's just to make a basic mobile phone call.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Ben. We're going to get hold of you if they have any more questions for you, mate.
Well, you can find me just by looking for Ben Aylett. That's BenAyllett. Anywhere on the internet, I'll pop up pretty easily. There's also my business, which is Easy Wireless, and that is spelt EZI Wireless. So just search on those. I'm also on 6PR Radio, so that's Perth Radio, every Monday night from 8:20 to 9 PM Perth time. Again, just follow me on Twitter for any updates.
Good stuff. Is that show on Catch Up as well? Can people actually watch, listen to that show if they miss it, or...?
I sometimes manage to get a recording and post it to my website as a podcast. So subscribe to the podcast, and when I can, you'll be getting more updates through.
All right, good stuff, mate. Good to have you on. Good information about Telstra, so I'm happy they got that fixed. Yeah. That's good.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem, mate. If you're free next week, come back on if you want to have a chat and whatever.
You got it.
Good stuff. Good to have you on, Ben. Daryl Hunt, where can they get hold of you, mate?
On Twitter at Learnscape, and I'm still on Google Plus, plus Daryl Hunt at Google Plus, and that's where you can find me. I usually hang around there with Mike Elgin and a few others.
Yep, and Dan McDermott, he's on Google Plus.
Dan
McDermott?
Not personally, but I have watched and listened to his stuff.
Yeah, check out his show each week,
The McDermott Reporter.
Check it out. Good show.
I will have a look at that. I'll probably have a bit of free time in the next fortnight to sort of just catch up on podcasts and stuff.
You been watching anything interesting on Netflix at all, Daryl?
I haven't actually, but as I say, this next fortnight, because I'm going to be in dry dock for a fortnight, I'm probably going to binge Netflix.
We should do a Netflix thing each week and let people know what we've been watching each week.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly happy to do that, like Movie of the Week.
Yeah, we should, yeah.
Series of the Week. What have you been watching on Netflix or Stan or...
Yeah, whatever, yeah. Streaming, streaming segment or something, whatever, each week. Well, streaming.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that at all.
All right, sounds good, mate. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oden at Tech Webcast, and also check out the Moody's Christmas show, Daryl. That's a good show too. You seen that, the Moody's?
I like the Moody's Christmas show. Yeah, it's very, very funny.
That's one show I can't get enough of.
The other show that I recommend people watching, it's not on, it's on ABC and it's on iView, is Rake.
Oh, okay, Rake, yep.
If you like Rake, he's on Series 4 at the moment, so he's on, of course, their catch-up, but I love that show.
All right, I'll check it out. And what about you, Ben? What have you been watching on Netflix? Do you want to mention any quick shows, mate, before we go to Jacob?
I've been trying to get back into Vikings. I really love that show. It's a good show. But at the moment, my day is taken up, and nights taken up with work.
Yeah.
And I managed to drag the wife in front of Game of Thrones a night later.
Okay.
So I know about holding doors.
Game of Thrones
is coming.
That's it. Jacob, what about you, mate?
People probably don't want to hear my stuff.
Go ahead, just say it. They may be interested in saying it. I know what you watch.
I'm a kid at heart. I still watch Power Rangers. Nope, nothing wrong with that, right?
If you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Nothing wrong with it.
Hey, it's from classics from my childhood. Can't get enough of it. But Netflix, I made a list when I first got on there, and now it's all over the place. Now I can't. Now they're not in order anymore.
Question, Jacob. Got a question for you. You know, when Netflix first launched in the USA, what was your thought on it? What did you think of it?
I loved it, but it was just DVDs.
Okay, just
now I still got a DVD up here that I've had more than 2 years.
I really hope Australia becomes like America with streaming, so like they get Hulu and that sort of thing, and I hope they do that. And HBO,
Then you'll get more of an advantage and choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know what Fox would think about that, but I don't think they would. They would be.
I think they would burn it.
I don't think that would happen. I don't think.
That'll be for a another podcast. Instead of Tech Webcast, it'll be Streamcast or something like that.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. All right, thanks guys for being on. Thanks Ben, Daryl, Jacob. Thanks for being on.
Cheers,
and Daryl, good luck with the doctor.
Thank you very much.
And you'll be back. When were you back?
Week after next.
Week after next. All right, good stuff.
Yeah, so Saturday week.
And Ben, you can fill in if you want to be on, mate, next week.
Oh, happy to.
Done. All right, good stuff. Thanks, guys.
No worries, thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!